Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We've looked at that all year long. It's a prayer that we are to be praying. It's a prayer that is easy to say. It is awfully hard to do, because if we really mean it, it means that we are going to be vulnerable. It means that we're going to be open to change. That is powerful words. And sometimes we say words, but we don't follow through with action, right? How many of us are familiar with this phrase? I think it's coming up here. Practice what you... Okay, there we go. What's the next one? Oh, hey, that's pretty good. Okay, the next... actions speak louder than... Okay. And the next... He who can't... Oh, hey, this one, by the way, this is George Bernard Shaw. And if you're a teacher here, please... Oh, I can't. I gave the... Oh, he who can does, he who cannot... teaches, yeah. But that's kind of saying that if you're a professional at speaking, you got to watch that. Oh, Amber, that was no slight on you. This is, she didn't like that one. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is, he talks a good. What's that? Oh, no, it talks a good game. There, yeah, thank you. Okay, how about the next one? Well done. This is Benjamin Franklin. Well done is better. Well done is better than well. Okay, you all are just really good at this. Now, let me ask you though. How about the scriptural? This is from the Bible. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of. Okay, power. Probably different translations. In the New International, it's power. The word is dunamis. It's that word from which we get the word dynamite. It's a word that talks about life-transforming power. It's a word that's often translated in the New Testament miracles. In fact, when Jesus began his ministry, he was performing a lot of healing miracles. One day it says Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, that's a observable power, is it not? The issue, though, is this. A lot of times we get married to observable power, and we don't get married to the Lord who is behind all power, right? This is one of the great issues. There was a guy by the name of Simon the magician. And Simon was a guy who had unbelievable power. He was able to influence. He probably was a dynamic, charismatic, and very influential person in many ways. It says this, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." I mean, he was a guy that had it together in every sense, and he sort of worshiped the power that he had. How many of us have connected with people that would say, gosh, they're all about power? I mean, they are groping for power. They will pay money for power. They will do anything for power. Well, that's what this guy was like. Anything for power. And so when he saw Peter and James and John performing miracles, he said, gosh, I'd like to buy that same kind of power. And I think we have the next phrase. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, this is Jesus' words, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles. That word, again, is that same dunamis. It's the word power. Didn't we show you all kinds? Didn't we demonstrate all kinds of power? And so there are people that worship, even in the church, worship power. And Jesus would say, wait a second, that's not the issue at stake. I'm going after something deeper. I'm going after something more. I don't want to stop there. I don't want to end there for sure. This is not my desire, my plan. And in fact, the power of God oftentimes is overlooked. It's oftentimes demeaned. It's oftentimes disregarded. This is the real power of God for those of us that have entered into relationship with him, we understand that sometimes it's not seen by anybody else. It's secret. God is doing something, but no one can tell it. No one can see it. No one realizes it. This is what the Apostle Paul said. We preach about Christ who was crucified, what would seem like the very opposite of power. Jesus goes to the cross. He's executed. That's what we're talking about. That's the power of God, is all about the cross. And to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it was foolishness. But to those whom God has called, to those who God speaks to their heart and soul, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That God speaking deeply to each one of us. That's the power of God. God opening up that whatever it is inside of us that makes us vulnerable, that makes us say, God, I want whatever you want for my life. It's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the way God does things. And I'm sure if we share our stories this morning, we would say, yes, the great power of God was not something that there were all kinds of bells and whistles. It was something deep within my soul that transformed me. Things happened, but it happened quietly. It happened deeply. It happened in a way where I discovered something about God that became good news for me, but others wouldn't necessarily understand it. It goes on to say, Paul says this in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the good news about the gospel. I'm not ashamed that there's something about this message that revolves around the cross. I'm not ashamed of the fact that a lot of people don't get it. I'm not ashamed of that at all, because I have come to understand that this gospel message is God's power for saving people. It brings salvation to everyone who connects, everyone who believes, everyone who receives this message. It's a transforming message. It really does make a difference in our lives. It is the reason why we're here today, is it not? We believe that this is more important than I guess we could still be sleeping in. We could be playing golf. We could be out fishing or boating. We could be out making some more money. We could be doing a lot of other things, but there's something more vital, more important than anything else in our lives, and that's our relationship with God. It's when we recognize that God has given us life, and this life through Jesus means that we who are messed up are forgiven and have the power to be transformed and changed as we continue to be open to Him. That messed up part is really important as far as the scriptures are concerned. Because what God wants to do is take messed up people and impart into their lives His power. It says in Acts that the next slide, Jesus was saying that to His disciples, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit when He comes on you. And you're going to be witnesses. And again, it may not be this highly observable power. It may be something within your soul that is just being transformed. But you're going to know that something is different. Something has happened. And you're going to be witnesses of this. And you're going to be able to tell about it. You're going to be saying, Jesus does make a difference in my life. And where it's in my Jerusalem or it's in my Judea, Samaria, every one of the areas of my life which spreads around in my own family, among my neighbors, or where I go to work, and wherever I go. Brett, I know this. If Brett was taking this trip to Spokane, everywhere Brett goes, Jesus would go along with him. I know he can't help that. That's just Brett. But it's true for all of us. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we're bringing Jesus. This is the thing, the witness. We're witnesses of the power of God. He is within. He is at work. He is calling us, we believe, Ann and I, on this journey that we've never taken. But we don't know why for sure. we do know that there are a number of people that we're supposed to be connecting to along this way. Some people we haven't seen for years and years and years. And it's going to be kind of fun to see what God does in this process. But what he wants to do is to take us where we're at, as messed up as we are. How many, by the way, do we have some messed up people here? Oh, no, we were just pointing at Brett. Okay. It's the two hand messed up. Paul says, you know, this power, this treasure, it's in jars of clay. It's in ordinary stuff, things that can break easily. How many of you noticed how much you're like a jar of clay? That no matter how strong you think you are, gosh, if you get hit the wrong way, you know, Ann and I got into it a little bit last night, and Ann was good. I mean, I felt I was in the right, you know. Most of the time I feel like I'm in the right. How many of you are kind of that way? I mean, you're in the right. I was in the right. I thought I was in the right. And I kind of stood on my self being right and her being wrong. And she apologized and she was all done with it. But I mean, it's hours later. I mean, we've already eaten. I mean, this is before. I mean, it's going on. It's well past the time that this offense should have been dealt with. And I want to be tough and strong and move on. I don't even admit that this thing has even bothered me, but it's bothering me. And I just, how many identify with me? Okay. It's like jars of clay, huh? How many of us have some cracks in those jars of clay? This is, and I'm not going to go there any further. This is, how many of us have some jars of clay that have been beaten up, chipped? Got some jars of clay. We know they're pretty shaky. But inside the jars of clay, Paul says, God says to us, is his surpassing power. His power is inside the jars of clay. That's the great miracle. That is the great miracle that he has chosen to invest himself in people like you and me. He goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We have everything that's going wrong inside of us, but we also have everything of God flowing through us as well. This is just this wonderful, wonderful irony, contradiction, and the more brittle the jar of clay, the greater the power of God that can be displayed. That's just the way it is. The people who have had the worst of stuff in their life have the greatest of testimonies. They are able to impact others for Jesus' sake to a greater extent than anyone. It's the way it works. It's the way God has chosen to do things. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's that dunamis. And again, Paul says this. Jesus whispered into my soul. He said, my grace is enough for you. For my power is made perfect in all of your stuff, all of your misunderstandings, all of your weaknesses, all of your messed upness, all of your brokenness, all of that stuff. I want to stop here just a second. I had my mentor and sage, Charlie Sparkman, speak this truth into my soul. And I just said, oh, gosh, Charlie, you know, I should have written it down. I want to write it down. I want to memorize it. I want to get it deep in my soul, because what he said was just struck me. He said, we are broken people. We are all broken people. If we refuse to admit our brokenness, if we have refused to acknowledge and accept our brokenness, we will find a scapegoat, because it's going to come out of us. And our brokenness is going to be dumped on somebody else. That is just the way we are. That is who we are. If we cannot say, in my brokenness, I misunderstand, I make mistakes, I err, I sin in my brokenness, then we're going to find somebody who we're going to transfer that stuff to, because we can't deal with it ourselves. We need the power of God. We need the forgiveness of God. We need the grace of God, because that enables us to extend that same thing to others as well. It's my grace that is sufficient for you. It's my power that's made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast not about the stuff that I've done, not about the stuff that I've accomplished, but I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I met with Chris and Mary and Zechariah and Isaiah on Thursday, and I was telling them one of my stories, and I'm sure I've told you. And by the way, Chris and Mary, after a while you'll say, I've heard that story before. You know, this is I've already heard that story. It's kind of like our family story. So you've got to hear these stories, and then you can become part of the family. This is one of my stories. This is a story that I've shared here often about the time I was 12 years old. I'm out trick or treating, and we're going up to a house, and there's as we're trick or treating, there's this pumpkin on the right next to the lady who's giving us candy, and one of my buddies picks up the pumpkin, runs out in the street, and throws the pumpkin into the street, and my buddies run on off and are laughing as the woman is yelling at them, and I'm standing there, and I go out to the street, I pick up the pieces of the pumpkin, I bring it back to her, and I tell her I'm sorry, and I walked home. And I said that story has so riveted me. It has so said something to me about me. It said to me so much about my life and my calling. And I have often said that story is about me. And I only sort of recently began to think that story really is not about me at all. Because me is the person that messes up and goofs up and doesn't want to be. I'm the guy that doesn't do the right things, that doesn't stand up. I'm not the hero of the story. I'm never the hero of the story. The hero of the story is that for some crazy reason, God worked in me that night and gave me something that night that went down deep into my soul. It's the power of God. The story was never about me and my goodness, my strength, my willingness to do the right thing. The story is always about how God can do something in broken vessels, in stuff that's messed up. You know, my mom used to pray, and she would say, Tom, I pray for you every day, but I never pray that you will be free of problems and issues and things in life. I pray that God will give you the strength to overcome. I pray that God will give you his strength to enable you to overcome. I pray that for each of us. I pray that no matter what we're facing, how many of us are facing something that's really pretty tough right now? We're dealing with something that's not easy. And so God is saying to you, to each of us, he's saying, I don't want you to escape from this thing. I put it, it's in your life. I brought it into your life for a reason. It's not that he inflicts us with these things in one sense, but on the other hand, he wants us to see his power in the midst of all the stuff. It's his power in the midst of all of our stuff. His presence, his grace is sufficient. Lord, I just pray blessings on those of us gathered here this morning, I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to do a work in our midst. I pray for this church. I pray for the work of God here. I pray for Clint and Crystal and the great ministry that they've had in our midst. I pray for Chris and Mary and for what you intend to do through them. I pray for all these things, but Lord, the truth of the matter is we're praying for your power, your subtle, unusual power that comes to upon those of us that have stuff in our lives. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.